In our reading this morning from Psalm 43, we saw there how David prayed to the Lord. And he said, "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth." Verse 3. "Let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles." And of course, God did send out His Son, Jesus Christ, who is the truth and the way to God. And so, he says, "Then will I go to the altar of God." In John chapter 1, verse 8, we read, "He," John the Baptist, "was not that light." In other words, John was not the Word, who is the original, essential, and absolute light of life, as He is God the Son. Now, why does it say He was not the light? Because many wondered if John might be the Christ, the promised Messiah. In Luke chapter 3, remember, John had a very popular and powerful ministry of preaching and baptizing. And in verse 15 of Luke chapter 3, it says, "And as the people were in expectation," this is the very time when the people were expecting Christ to arrive based on the Old Testament prophecies, "and all men mused in their hearts about John, whether he were the Christ or not." They were wondering, is this him? Is John the Messiah? And so John was very careful to disabuse the people of that false idea. In Acts chapter 13, and verse 25, it says, "And as John fulfilled his course," or the time and work God had given him on this earth, "he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose." Not only am I not the Christ, but he's still coming. And when he does come, I'm not even worthy of untying his shoes. He's so much greater than I am. Now, John was a light, but he was a light that was lit by Christ, the true light. You remember John 5:35? It says this about John: "He was a burning and a shining light. He gave off both illumination and heat." And he says, "You were willing for a season to rejoice in his light." The light that Christ had given him. Because remember, Christ is the source of all other lights. John as a witness was like the moon that has no light of its own, but only reflects the light of the sun. And so he was reflecting the light of Christ by his preaching and ministry. And so it says, he was not that light, but, or rather, instead, he was sent for what purpose? To bear witness of that light. In other words, John was a man. He was not God or Savior. We already saw 1 John 1:5. This is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And then in Isaiah 43, it tells us how men, as God's witnesses, point to that light. Verse 10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. No such thing as a lesser God. There's only one true and living God. Even I am the Savior. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. In other words, only God is Savior, Jehovah. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. And so John was neither God nor Savior, but he was a witness too. Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior. John told of and pointed to Jesus, not to himself. And all true ministers preach Jesus Christ and exalt only Him. Notice how that's the case in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John have healed a lame man, and the people were very amazed by this, and they were starting to wonder if maybe Peter and John were something extraordinary. And what did Peter say in verse 11? And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us? Why are you staring at us like we did something? As though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk. We don't do this. We can't do this. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified, not Peter and John, He hath glorified His Son, Jesus, whom you delivered up, and denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. And then he says in verse 16, And His name, Christ's name, through faith in His name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him hath given Him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Don't look at us. We didn't do this. Jesus did. It was our faith in Him that produced this miracle. How about in Acts chapter 14? Another similar situation. Paul and Barnabas are ministering, and they heal a man who was impotent in his feet, a cripple from his mother's womb, it says. And in verse 11 it says, When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Wow, he healed a man lame from his mother's womb. These cannot be men, they must be gods. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. And then it says, The priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. They were actually going to offer up sacrifices to them as if they were gods. What was their reaction to this? Which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, They rent their clothes. They showed their shock at this, that they would even consider such a thing. They tore their garments and ran in among the people crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? Why are you worshiping men? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities, these false gods, these nothings, unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good and gave us rain from heaven in fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And with these sayings, I mean, they're dissuading the people as much as they can not to go through with this man worship. But it says, with these sayings, they scarcely restrained the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And of course, Paul was exhibiting what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What's the great subject of our message? Not the preacher. Now you have these preachers that tell stories and talk about themselves more than anything else. That's not doing God's work. What should a preacher be preaching of? Verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 4. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In other words, men will stay lost until we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. For we preach not ourselves. That's there he says, what is not our subject? Ourselves. We're not the Savior. We can't help you. But we preach Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves, your servants for Jesus' sake. We are mere servants doing Christ's work and bringing the gospel to you. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts in order that what? In order to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that light. He brought that light to us, not John the Baptist. All right, let's go now in John chapter 1 to verse 9. It begins with the word that. And it's referring to the word Jesus Christ. That was the true light. That was the light of truth. It's found nowhere else. He alone is the true light. In John 18, he says that's why he came, to bring this light to men. Verse 37. He says to Pilate, Pilate said unto him, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, or for this purpose, this was my goal and reason for my coming into the world. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And so he was the great witness to the truth of God. It says the gospel first began to be preached by the Lord. Now, the word true in John chapter 1, verse 9, it means real, ideal, or genuine. In other words, Jesus is the absolute, eternal, essential light. And as such, he is the original and source of all other lights. They all are derived from him. But he has light in himself. It's his very essence. He is the ultimate substantial light, which is God, and of which all lesser created lights are but emblems and types and symbols that point back to Him. Wherever you see light, that should remind us of God, where that light came from, and who is light. He, Jesus, is the light of truth. Whereas all false prophets, false teachers, false messiahs, false doctrines, they are error and darkness, despite their claims to the contrary. And how many people are held in error and darkness by false doctrine? And it's like a cage. It's like a cell that holds them fast. And so that's why it says God sent Jesus, as we saw in Isaiah 49, verse 9, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. You remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11? Paul was a true apostle of Jesus Christ. He taught the true gospel. But he said there were others who claimed to be apostles who preached false gospels. And how does he describe them? Verse 13. Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, claiming to be that which they are not. Remember the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2 was said they tried those who said they were apostles, but were not, and he found them to be liars. There are a lot of people out there saying, we have the truth. We're the right teaching. We are the right way. You have to receive what we tell you or you'll be in darkness. And yet, they have nothing but darkness to offer because they do not have the light. They're not in the light themselves. They transform themselves or claim to be something they're not. And no marvel. Why? Well, who's their master? Who's sending them to do this? Satan. And he's the prince of darkness. And yet, he doesn't come as an angel of darkness. Rather, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He claims to be one who brings truth from God. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers, the devil's ministers, also be transformed into something they're not, as the ministers of righteousness. But they're not getting away with anything. God knows what they are, and He will deal with them, whose end shall be according to their works. Not only theirs, but those who follow them. Like Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. So Jesus Christ and His gospel are the only way to the true God. That's why John 1:9 goes on to say, that was the true light, which does what? Which lighteth. Christ lighteth. And the word means to shine or to give light. And so it means to illuminate or to enlighten. You see the same word in Revelation 22, verse 5. When we're in heaven, what will be the light there? There shall be no night there, nothing of darkness, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, no more natural light. Why? For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Jesus Christ giveth us light. That's what John 1:9 is saying. Christ here is said to lighten every man. Now, how does He lighten every man? Well, one way you can answer that is if we take every man here to mean everybody, every individual, he gives natural light to every man. You read in Job chapter 25, verse 3, talking about God, is there any number of his armies? And some of his armies are the hosts of heaven, sun, moon, and stars. And it says, and upon whom doth not his light arise? And that sounds like the light of the sun is a light that arises. In Psalm 74, verse 16, it says there, the day is thine, the night also is thine, thou hast prepared the light and the sun. And of course, when the sun rises, men go forth to their work. And notice how many men the sun lights on. Psalm 19, talking about the heavens and the firmament, speaking out the fact of God, His existence. It says, verse 4, their line has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. And He describes the sun this way, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and His circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And so He lights every man with natural light. He also gives another light to every man. He gives every man his life. Psalm 56. David is praying. God has saved him from dying, and he says this, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling? Now keep me from falling, Lord, so that I may do what? So I can walk before God. Where? In the light of the living, or among the living. You know, death is considered a place of darkness, the grave. But he says, I want to remain alive to live my life in this world. And he calls it a light. And we've already seen that God gives to every man the witness of his reason, his conscience, and his God awareness. Why do men have reason and God consciousness and the knowledge of right and wrong? Because God gave that to them, which He did not give to the animals. In Job and chapter 35, verse 11, Job says about God, who teaches us more than the beasts of the earth. I know modern day earth worshippers and naturalists, they try to make man another animal. But there's an infinite gulf between man and animal. They are not at all of the same order. And we mustn't let people confuse those things. But he says here, God has taught us, as those made in His image and likeness, more than the beasts of the earth, and makes us wiser than the fowls of heaven. And we saw in Romans 2 that we have a conscience that bears witness within us to our actions. It says in verse 15, they show the work of the natural law, the law of our creation, written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Now God also gives to every man the witness of creation and of providence, Romans 1:19. That which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. God has given us light, how? By the things He's made. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So the creation is a light given to all men, telling us of the existence and nature of God. You remember in Acts chapter 14, not only did God make the world, but in His providence in directing the world, He has also left us a witness and a light. Acts 14, verse 17. Nevertheless, He left not Himself without a witness. Well, what witness is that? What light does He give? In that He did good, in other words, His blessings, and He gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Our growing seasons and our harvests are a light God gives. And that's part of His providence in the world. So in those senses, God does lighten every man. But every man here in John 1:9 does not mean every and all individuals. But rather it's talking about those to whom God sovereignly gives spiritual life and understanding too. Because John 1:9 is not talking about any kind of general lights, but the light that Christ brought, which was the light of life. And so what He's saying is, He lights every man that is saved, is converted. He gives this special light to His own. Proverbs 16 says, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 22 says, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that has it. And that's talking about spiritual understanding and spiritual life. But the instruction of fools is folly. And of course, we have it spelled out in the first epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 20, where it says, we know that the Son of God has come. He's come into the world. And what did He do? He has given us an understanding. And what is the result of this understanding? That we may know Him that is true. He gave us to understand the truth. And in doing that, He gave us eternal life. This is the true God and eternal life. So we're talking here about spiritual light, spiritual knowledge and understanding, saving illumination. And also when it says every man, so often in the gospel and other places, it's saying that the gospel is no longer restricted to the Jews and to the nation of Israel. Remember, He gave them His word, but to no other nation. But now, the gospel goes out to all the nations as the light that leads men to salvation, Jew and Gentile alike. John was a light, like a candle, that lights a room. He lit Israel. Jesus is a light, like the sun, that lightens the whole earth. And so in Isaiah 49, as we read this morning, verse 6, it says, God tells Christ, He said, it is a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee what? For a light to the Gentiles. Not to the Jew only, but also to the Greek, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. And so the gospel is broken out of the bounds of the nation of Israel and is spread throughout the world. And isn't that what Jesus said before He left the world in Mark chapter 16. Verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to who? To every creature, to every man. Of course, the gospel is only for men as sinners and as proper objects of God's saving grace. Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. Paul said, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. It's to go out to all kinds of men, not only Jews. Now, Jesus, of course, is the one who gives us divine revelation by His Spirit in 1 Peter chapter 1, the light of divine revelation comes from Christ. 1 Peter 1, verse 11, he says there, searching what? Speaking of the Old Testament prophets who preached, prophesied of the grace that Christ brought to us, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. All right, it was the Spirit of Christ giving them this content of their message when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. That was Christ giving that. He said in John 16, after He'd leave the world, He would continue to give divine revelation to His New Testament apostles and prophets. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. He didn't give them the entire content of the message. He reserved some of it for His Spirit to give to His apostles and prophets who recorded it in the New Testament scriptures. He says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of or from Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear from Christ, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine. Jesus would give Him what the Spirit would give to His inspired servants. And He shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I that He will take of Mine and shall show it unto you. So He gives the content of revelation, the gospel message. He also gives spiritual illumination, the ability to understand and receive the gospel. And as a result, He gives salvation to His elect people. Notice how He does that. Job chapter 33. Job chapter 33, verse 27, says of God, He looks upon men, and if any say, I have sinned, and I have perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, I got nothing for it but bad. He says, He will deliver His soul from going into the pit, and His life shall see the light. He'll be brought to the light of salvation, the light of life. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. And in this case, it's the spiritual light and life, those who are alive in Christ and have eternal life through faith in Him. And that's what Luke chapter 1 says. In Luke chapter 1, here you have the father of John the Baptist, Zechariah, is prophesying. He says in verse 76, "Thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the Lord, before the face of the Lord, to prepare his ways." You'd go before the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And Jesus would, what would be his ways? Jesus came to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, by dying for them on the cross. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to do what? To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. In other words, we can't find the way to God because we're in darkness, we're blind, we're lost. And so he shined his light and showed us the way back to God through himself and his redeeming work. Now the next thing in John chapter 1, verse 9, that John does, he tells us how it is that Jesus lights every man. He says, "that cometh into the world." Now the word "that" here refers to Christ himself. Cometh into the world. Now this world, this word "world," cometh into the world, is never used in the New Testament to speak of the birth of an ordinary human being. But rather it's used exclusively of Christ. In other words, what John is saying is that Christ, by coming into the world, lights every man, or all his people. John chapter 9, he says it. This phrase, "cometh into the world," it's used here in the first chapter of John, it's used throughout the Gospel of John, in other places in the Bible, referring to Christ. 9:39, Jesus said, "For judgment I am coming to this world, that they which see might not see, or that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." That's why I came into the world. In John chapter 11, verse 27, Jesus is talking to Martha at the tomb of Lazarus. And she says this in verse 27. She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God." And how does she describe him? "Which should come into the world." That's always spoken of Christ. And so John 1:9 is saying, that was the true light that, coming into the world, he lights every man. Or it was by coming into the world that Jesus savingly enlightens his people by bringing the light of life to them as it was seen in him and as it was conveyed to them by the gospel, which is the knowledge of salvation. And so, Christ is the true light. And if you have the light of life today, if you are savingly illuminated, have been brought to Christ, and have eternal life by faith in him, he lighted you. And he did it by coming into the world and bringing to us the light of life. And with that, we'll close.